Shock Journal Radio. Shock Journal Radio brings you NFL Talk Late Night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be drawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL Talk Late Night from Shock Journal Radio.
All right, Jock Stars. I'm sure you're all probably watching Thursday Night Football as the Rams are totally obliterating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a score of 21-3 early into the third quarter. Case Keenum is tearing stuff up, and I'm like, Matt, that can't be happening. But only in a color rush game would that ever be happening with a team that has no ability to possibly ever get into the playoffs, or they'd be playing a better quarterback. Right, Matt? I like screwing with you. Anyways, I'm Nash, and you're listening to NFL Talk, and I'm sorry, Matt, I actually had your mic off still. My apologies. Nobody actually had a chance to hear you talk about Case Keenum. So I'll give you a chance to kind of reiterate what was just said there for a few seconds about how you believe Case Keenum is the next Joe Montana.
I don't know about the next Joe Montana, but I think Case Keenum's good. I think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's showing that today, picking this defense apart and playing fairly well. 175 and two touchdowns is respectable no matter who you are, so good for them. And it's about time the Rams got someone in who can throw the ball.
Well, that's true. That I got to give you that. It is good that they finally did get what they needed to in this situation. So I'm glad that the Rams are continuing to make the NFC West look exceptionally dominant, and every time the Seattle Seahawks are going to be beating them in the near future, we're going to have to remember that the Rams are just another amount of tough teams. You know, I was today I tried getting into football a little bit today, but I had so many things going on, and I'm working my rear end off. I just got it done with a week's worth of vacation. I know you guys are like, you weren't on vacation. You've been on the radio all week long. Well, I was on vacation. Vacation from my regular everyday 9-to-5 type of thing. Well, I went through and I looked at it, and we've done about $2,600 that we've paid in Christmas gifts so far this year. And we still have a couple of people to pay for. Yeah, I know. We still have a couple of people to buy for. And we're like, okay, so it's probably going to get up to about $3,200. We dropped probably about $600 on each kid.
Wow.
Yeah, we got some, you know, a couple of flat screen TVs, you know, that, you know, for their rooms and stuff like that. It's pretty nice. Well, I think they're pretty happy with what we're going to be giving them. They don't know.
Should be happy with that. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, kids these days, you just never know. And
no, I don't buy into it.
Do you have a limit that you keep your kids under? What do you stay under?
$300 per kid.
That's not bad, though, really. I mean, $300, that would have been a good Christmas for me back in the day.
Oh, my God. And yeah, as well, my kids are so spoiled, that's ridiculous. They literally have two Xbox 360s, two PlayStation 3s, three PlayStation 3s, and an Xbox One. They have flats, so they have TV. It's like, what else can you get them? And last year, this is what happened. This is what happens at every Christmas, too. You think you're getting your kid this big, amazing thing, right? You get him all these things, and the $5 gift that you threw in his stocking, that's the one he plays with for 4 hours. It's like, okay. I just watched that happen so many times that I was like, listen, never again. I'm just going to go bare bones on Christmas from now on, and I'm going to buy him one big, decent thing, right? $100 item, and then the rest is just small items, because they're kids. They just tear it up and torture it. Once they get a little older, you can go into like a cell phone or right tablet or something like that, but it just they just don't understand the value of any of that stuff. And it doesn't help that we're teaching them by giving them all this stuff. We just further immerse them into the you know, consumerism that we already live in, and I don't want to get it started with them.
Yes, consumerism is probably the biggest level of evil that is actually there, because it essentially puts you into a slave-like situation for the rest of your life, as debt is nothing more than just one big slavery sign-up. You know, Matt, we gotta talk about a lot of things tonight, but one of the things that I would like to hear from the listeners, and you want to just go ahead and text us, 77948. You type the word text, space, and then your message, okay? Go ahead and text us what is the most crazy, high-end, high-dollar, ridiculous, extravagant gift you've ever got somebody for a Christmas present. And this gives you the opportunity to get a $50 gift card if your gift blows our hair back and shocks us so badly that we have to. So this is your opportunity to go ahead and text 77948. Type the word text, space, and then your message. I would love to hear if somebody's gotten a car, or, you know, $10,000 trip, or maybe a brand new home. I want to hear it from you. So go ahead and text us, and we'll read those out to you. Also, guys, just to let you know, two new things. One is this app I've been working on all day long, and it's been driving me absolutely crazy. And it's that Sports Mania, Name That Sport. Sometimes I get to the point where I wish I never played it, and other times I love it to death to the point where it's driving me insane. I can't get past level 118. So if anybody can get past level 118, I will pay you $10 for the information to get me past this one, as it has completely got me stuck. So just go ahead and text me the answer to level 118 on the Sports Mania Name That Sport. We are going to be sponsoring them all week long. The app is absolutely fantastic. It gets me, it racks my brain. It makes me think. And all the guys here at Jock Journal are playing it and talking about it, and we can't get past it. So this is your opportunity to be smarter than us. This is Jockstars, show us what you're made of. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk to everybody about is the other app that's coming out this weekend. Yes, you've all wanted it. You've all been asking for it. Well, it's finally freaking here. And that is the Jock Journal app. This app will allow you to not only listen to us while you're on the go, and not only us, but all the other shows that are on the Jock Journal radio station. But it'll also give you the opportunity to text, chat, confer with other people about all sorts of things that have to do with sports. In fact, there's even a locator device, so you can find other jock stars right out there in jock world inside your local area. Maybe you can meet somebody, hang out, have a beer. Who knows? So it's going to be available absolutely free from the Apple store as well as the Android store. All you got to do is go in and pull it off, and it'll be available to you immediately. So this weekend, probably around Friday, we'll see. First, from the 904, we got a early Shock the Jock, a $4,000 Chevy Silverado truck for his son for Christmas. Wow. This year. Matt,
that's like a first car or something.
I know. I want this guy as my daddy.
Oh, no. Oh, you just say daddy?
Daddy, yeah. I mean, God. Well, no, my dad did me pretty well. He actually got me a pumpkin-colored Mustang. Automatic, of course, so I wouldn't be burning tires or anything else like that. It was a 1978 Mustang 2, Ford Mustang, pumpkin colored, like really bad orange. It was a good car while it lasted. It really was. I enjoyed that little car. It only had 77,000 miles on it when I got it in 1993. So that was kind of a nice little blessing, but it was essentially a Pinto in disguise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, my first one's a 1972 Toyota Tercel, and it was sweet.
a 1972 Toyota Tercel, those things will live through the zombie apocalypse. How many miles did you get on it?
I don't know. It had a couple hundred thousand miles on it, but when someone threw a firebomb in it and blew it up in my front yard because I just ran with the wrong crowds. And...
Hold on. You're saying somebody from your crowd threw a firebomb into your car and blew it up on the front yard? Dude, what type of crowd are you hanging out with?
Yeah. Well, so obviously the
that's
kind
pretty
of
hardcore.
Crowd that does that. And so but the point of the story is it drove to the dump after that. It was awesome.
You drove a half-burned-up car to the dump.
Yeah, yeah. And it drove there. It was awesome. It would have run through anything. And it would run on like $4 worth of gas. I could drive for like 5 days. It was so sweet.
Those were the days. And yeah, those Toyota Tercels are absolutely, utterly amazing. You can't make them stop. You really can't. I mean, you could go put it around a tree and then just start the engine and back up. The engine might be in your front compartment, but it'll still drive it really well. So I guess that kind of gets us through all that, and let's go ahead and get to the news.
So these idiots are talking news now? Are they pulling this off of Jock Journal? So I guess this proves they can read. What a joke.
All right, guys, that's time for the news. So let's talk about the first thing in the news, and that's Tom Brady edging out Cam Newton for MVP this year. Is this right or is this wrong? Because it seems to me like Cam Newton has been more valuable not only to his team, but has led them to a bigger, better record. I can't see any reason that Brady should have beat out Cam Newton. Can you?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the only reason is glaringly apparent. He's white. Cam Newton's black.
Oh, the race card. He did it. He called it. He said it. Matt, you're going to have to explain
that. I don't see any other
reason.
Look, we've seen this happen. Cam Newton, I think, is the best quarterback in the NFL this year, hands down. He does a couple dances, and people are throwing a huge fit. The next week, Travis Kelce, a white tight end, does. He hits the Quan, which is the same kind of dance that the dab is, and he does it very clear with everyone watching. No one says a word. I don't hear anything about it. But when Cam Newton does it, it's a huge thing. Now we're shocked that Tom Brady, you know, the picture of white America, wins in voting over Cam Newton. Of course he does.
Are you saying
not surprising?
Are you saying that good old white America, the ones voting for this, are essentially racially motivated? The fans of the NFL, all the people who voted for Tom Brady, did it on a racial motivation and not just because of they thought he was better?
It's not like this. It's not like someone goes out and goes, I'm going to vote for the white guy. But when they're if it comes down, you have fans in the NFL, if it comes down to Tom Brady versus Cam Newton, they're going to, on a subconscious level, default to what they relate with more. And unfortunately, that's probably going to be Tom Brady.
Well, how can that be?
For a couple different reasons. Not just that, but this. I would venture to say that the amount of people that actually take the time to vote for the something like that are going to probably be majority. I'm going to say a larger percentage of them are going to be white people, just because it's something that white people would take the time to do and care about. I honestly just would love to know the percentage of black people that cared about NFL voting and the Pro Bowl and took the time to sit down at their home computer, go online and do the voting, right? Instead of, I just don't think that they would take as many, a larger percentage of people. I think the percentage would be more white people would take the time, because that just sounds like a white thing to do, honestly.
A white thing to do. You know what a white thing to do is what this texter just sent in from the 736. He said he spent $5,600 building his mother-in-law a mother-in-law house in the backyard. Yeah, that's a pretty white thing to do, and I'm going to probably find out.
No, that's not a white thing to do or a black. That one's not. That's a smart thing to do. Any guy who wants to make his wife happy and, you know, wants to have their family close would do something like that. So that I can see.
I can't imagine having my mother-in-law I'm a white guy. Maybe if I were in a different culture somewhere along the lines, I could be able to handle my mother-in-law. But my mother-in-law, bless her soul, is a loud Hispanic woman who literally yells everything that she says. My wife is laughing right now. Literally yells everything that she says. And it's said with like almost like this like Spanish soap opera sort of enthusiasm. The thing is that when you watch Travis Kelce do his dance, he does it with his white enthusiasm, but you watch Cam Newton do the same dance, and he does it with the black enthusiasm, which is more boisterous. What are you talking
about? No, Travis Kelce did it with exactly as much enthusiasm and danced just fine. He didn't do it off rhythm.
Nobody wants to watch a white guy dance.
You should look up the video of Travis Kelce doing it. He looks fine. My point is this. Don't make the whole thing black or white. I'm just saying this. I think a larger percentage of the people that vote are white, and when it comes down to the two, I think on a subconscious level, they voted white.
I'm just messing with you, really. I honestly think that the reason this is behind it is the Bostonian fans. I don't think it has anything ultimately to do with color. I think it has to do with the fact that Patriots have been good for a very long time. And when you have a fan base all coming together to push through yet another year of wonderful, oh my God, he's so dreamy, Tom Brady, what they're doing is they're basically stacking the ballots because they are a very large fan base and they just came off of a Super Bowl win. That right there basically stacks the deck against Cam Newton. It would have required him to not only have a great year, because he did have super stellar years coming up to this year, but he would have also have had to have come off of a good year. So that way the fan base would have had time to develop, organize, and strategize on how to stuff the ballots. This happens all the time in baseball, all the way across the league. And you hear about it all the time, all these Yankees going to the All-Star game. And the reason that happens is the Yankees have a large
fan base. It actually happened
with
the Royals this year.
Yes.
Did you hear about that? That was awesome.
Yes, and you know what your the people you're right. The Kansas City media was sitting there telling people how to vote. Everybody go there. Vote 5, 6, 12, 15, 30 times if you have to. Get your friends.
They had all the positions except for one.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly. And it's not because your fan base was so utterly huge, though it has become huge since the Kansas City Royals have become good. But you came off of a good season, and you had a good season, and it just added to the synergy that was happening. So I don't think that Cam Newton, everybody knows you were the best football player in the league this year. Don't let this deter you. The chances are both you and Tom Brady will not be playing in this game anyhow, as you guys are probably both Super Bowl bound. And nobody plays on the Pro Bowl if you're going to the Super Bowl. Why risk the opportunity of getting hurt? You need to practice, all that other stuff. So, with that, I think that unless a texter or a caller has another explanation that they could put to this, I think we could put that to bed as being the reasonings behind it. Now, I know you want to go with the race, and maybe that had a little bit to do with it for the outside, non-committed NFL fan, the subconscious white effect, but I don't think so. We are going to be taking callers at 405-562-5463.
That's racist of you to say.
It's your white guilt talking. So we need you to call in at 405-562-5463 and go ahead and give us a call, and we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. But right now we're going to transition into a comment that Todd Bowles said. He said, guys, we definitely have to win out. And I'm looking at the Jets schedule, and I wanted to talk whether or not that's even a remote possibility, considering the circumstances. This week, the Jets are playing the Cowboys. I think that's a possibility of a win. However, the next week after that, they play the Patriots. Now, that's going to be in New York, and then after that, the Bills. if Todd Bowles still is feels like he's in contention, he's asking for a 6-game winning streak to push through to the end of the season. Does this have even an iota of a possibility in your mind, Matt?
No way.
Expand.
No, that's it. There's no chance in hell that the Jets went out. The Jets, look, they have a depleted secondary. Their defense hasn't been playing half as good as it was playing. And yes, I think Fitzpatrick's good, but I just don't, they're just up and down. That's it. That defense sometimes can leak like a sieve. And then that offense is not clicking some games. And I just don't think they have the fortitude yet and that they've played together long enough to really come through and push for the rest of the season. Who do they play? What are their remaining? What are their upcoming games?
The Cowboys this week, Patriots next week, and then the Bills.
There you go. No way. It's funny you say that. God, the Patriots. Really, on paper, the Patriots shouldn't be that good. But I just don't see them beating the Patriots. That's a rivalry game. And the Patriots in rivalry games just seem to step it up. Belichick's just a good coach. So I don't see him winning that game. And I don't even know if they win the Bills game. That's going to be a tough game at the end of the year where the Bills are going to come out really swinging. So we'll see. But I doubt it.
Well, one of the things to consider here is that the Patriots that late in the season, and with the fact that Cincinnati is now beginning to struggle, don't have their backs against the walls for that number one seed through the playoffs. Right now, currently, the Patriots are the number one seed. The Bengals, 10-3, and if they drop another game, which I can imagine them easily doing with A.J. McCarron in as their quarterback for the next, three games at least, I see them beginning to rest players, especially with how banged up the Patriots are right now. Why put Gronk fully in there? Let him have maybe a half against the New York Jets. Why go into a heavy rivalry game late in the season when you already probably locked up the first seed of the playoffs? That's why I'm thinking that the Jets have a reasonably good chance of making the playoffs. Even though right now they are the sixth seed with an 8-5 record. If the playoffs were today, right now, they would be in. But there's tough competition. We got the Chiefs, who are also 8-5. And we got all these other teams, like Pittsburgh, who's a seventh seed, also 8-5. They just don't want... And then it drastically drops off because the Oakland Raiders are 6-7. So if the New York Jets go 10-6 and create some space between Pittsburgh or Kansas City, it could happen. But that's the only other way I can see it.
Yeah. And frankly, I'm still pissed about Stephen A. Smith saying that he thinks that Pittsburgh and the Jets get in. I just over Kansas City. I just don't see the Jets being that good of a team. I think Pittsburgh definitely can do. I think they're a great team and they're playing a lot better and they're on a hot streak. I just don't see that from the Jets. They're just not playing on a hot streak. They won a game or two, but I don't think they have what it takes to beat, like I said, to beat the Patriots or to beat the Bills.
Well, if they do get in, it's going to be definitely as a wild card because there is no way that they can even conceive the thought of going and beating New England for the AFC East play. Only thing that New England needs to do is win one more game and they clinch the AFC East. So, and that's going to happen. Nobody's doubting that in the least. But I do believe that the Jets do stand a chance. The question is that with the upcoming schedule with the Chiefs, do the Chiefs end up with the 5th overall seed or the 6th overall seed? I don't see them winning the division as well. Do you see the Chiefs possibly beating out the Broncos, who currently are the 3rd seed and 10-3, but they're 2 games behind with only 3 games to play?
I would love to see the Kansas City Chiefs beat out the Broncos more, just because, honestly, more just to rub it in their face and to win our division would be awesome. But going into the playoffs, I'd much rather be a 5 seed who goes in and plays the AFC South winner, so we get a rematch with someone like Indianapolis, right, or Houston. Who?
Hey, whoever you are, please call back on another number. I can't merge you from this private line.
So, yeah, as far as games that I would like to play, yeah, I'd much rather end up with a 5th seed.
Yeah, no, I think that, honestly, the 5th seed is probably the best for the Chiefs. And playing the Ravens like you did, as terrible as they are, you have a good situation there. And then you're going to be playing the Cleveland Browns. So, basically, the Seahawks are roughing them up for you, and you're putting the dagger in their chest. And if the Chiefs end up going and beating the Raiders, you know, that's a pretty good run. What is that now? Would be 10 games in a row that you're winning.
Yeah, it'd be a 10 game win streak.
We got a caller from the 252. Let's go ahead and merge them in. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, caller.
Hey, just for the record, New England's already locked up last AFC from a week ago. And do you honestly want to see the Jets? And do you really think the Patriots want to see the Jets in the playoffs again going up in Foxborough?
You're right. They did win the division. Go ahead with that one, Matt.
Yeah, because I don't think the Patriots want to see the division.
I mean, I personally don't think the Patriots care who they see come playoff time. That's one thing about the Patriots. If you go into Foxborough in the playoffs, you're just bummed. That's it. I don't think there's anyone in the NFL that wants to go into Foxborough and play the Patriots in January.
I don't know. They don't. And I think that I agree with what Nash said about the Patriots locking this division up, because they're really going to be Pittsburgh's going to beat Denver, and it's not going to matter what Cincinnati does without Andy Dalton. Buddy of mine at the gym the other day told me doesn't lose the first game anyway. He's a lifelong Bengals fan. But I'm going to go ahead and take it off the air. I just want to put that piece in.
Hey, I really appreciate the call. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, it is. And let's also discover just for a moment that the Denver Broncos in their current state, if they run the table and the New York Jets do happen to somehow beat the Patriots, that does leave the potential for the New England Patriots to have the 2nd seed in the playoffs, with Denver having the tiebreaker in their head-to-head matchup between the New England Patriots and Denver in, I think it was week 11 or 12. This is an opportunity for Denver to still maintain the possibility of clinching home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But he made a good point. It's not likely to happen. I think that at this point, New England's on cruise control and just needs to keep players healthy. So that way, when they get to that out of that first round of the playoffs, they could take whoever they're going to have in that wild card after that wild card matchup, which I believe will probably be the 4 seed Indianapolis. I really do. I think they'll probably beat the Jets or Cincinnati. And they're going to take Indianapolis and just stomp them at home. And just like they did last year with that Deflategate, deflated ball situation, it's going to be all over again, and they're going to come out mad, and they're going to make sure there's extra pressure in Tom Brady's balls.
Oh, wow. You had to go there.
I did.
All right. They're your jokes, so you go with them.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to do a laugh track just behind me. Here we go. You didn't hear it, but everybody else did.
Amazing.
It happens, Matt. It happens from time to time. You got to let some of the cheese and the corn out, because if you don't let the cheese and the corn out, it gets all backed up, and then you have to look at it in the toilet. But with that, we're going to go to break.
Finally, can we take a moment and stop listening to these idiots long enough to get the Cars for Kids jungle stuck in my head? Kids, KARS, Cards for Kids, 1-877.
car today.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's jockjournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's jockjournal.com.
Hey guys, this is Matt with Nash and Matt NFL Late Night Talk. I don't know about you, but I'm terrible at getting Christmas gifts. Not only do I not listen a lot of the time, I mean, I listen when my wife talks, but sometimes I'm spaced out, I'm looking at my phone, I'm watching the game, something's going on. So she probably told me what she wanted, and I wasn't paying attention. Well, this year, I covered my ass. I went to Robin Denio. She's a skincare consultant with the doctors that created Proactiv, and she has a brand new line of premium skincare products. So they deal with sun damaged or aging skin or sensitive skin, and it's all the things that my wife likes. So you know what I did? I went to Robin. I said, hey, tell me what to get to make my wife happy. And you know what she did? She did. She hooked me up. She told me what to get. I bought it. Now I'm a hero for Christmas. And you can be one too. All you have to do is jump over to jockjournal.com, click on her ad, or you can email her at robin.reifler, R-E-I-F-L-E-R @gmail.com, and she will hook you up as well. Merry Christmas.
You are listening to Jock Journal Radio. News, opinion, and discussion for all you Jock stars.
Okay, guys. When it's time for Christmas shopping, make sure you go to the right places. Why are anglers getting their Christmas gifts sold from hunting apparel companies? You know, Ocean Vita is a true fishing apparel company focused on the coastal lifestyle. The clothing is designed specifically to handle the elements that anglers deal with, such as fishing trips and staying dry and cool and protected from the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays. Ocean Vita uses proven water-resistant technology, moisture-wicking fabrics, strategic air ventilation, and a high ultraviolet protection factor. All the designs and color choices are reflective of the bright and relaxed coastal lifestyle. Order your Ocean Vita today and use the Jock Journal Radio 20% off coupon, FishJock. That's FishJock with no spaces, just one word, FishJock. Order online today at oceanvita.com. Vita is V-I-D-A, and get your 20% before this sale ends. OceanVita.com. Stay dry and cool when you're reeling in your next big fish.
Support for this show comes from Material. Material is a simple and intuitive e-commerce platform that lets you get your online store started without paying a dime. That's right. No ads, no setup costs, no transaction fees. Experience a fresh and easy new way to sell online by signing up at Material.com today.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
Welcome back, Jockstars. I'm glad to have you all here. And we have one more thing to talk to you about. Again, that's that app, the Sports Mania app. And let me go ahead and give you the kind of the rundown of this app. First off, this app has all kinds of just wonderful, fun to use, trivia type questions. Basically, it throws a picture out there and you're supposed to name which sport it is. It's not as easy as it looks. It really isn't. And it's driving us nuts. So if you can get past 1.18, we're going to go ahead and give you a $10 gift card to the place of your choice or a Visa gift card just by answering that puzzle. Each puzzle contains a picture that relates to some type of sport and challenge yourself to unlock the answer. Some answers are easier than others. We have hundreds of questions, so download the game now and try it out while it's free. Give it your best shot. So, Matt, have you? How far did you get? Number four or number five?
Number one.
And Matt's still stuck at number one, guys. He'll come along. I'm sure he will. He's on vacation, so maybe one of these days when he's in line and has his phone in his hand, he'll screw around with it and get going. And then
you've got to wait till I get back to work where I have a lot of time to just sit and do nothing.
Yeah, and then you're going to be the master at it, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that, but yeah, I'll play more.
So, Matt, right now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers appear to be driving a little bit, and we're going to be getting some updates to that.
No, they're not driving.
What happened? What are you talking about? Did I miss something?
Yeah,
it's on commercial at the moment.
Doug Martin fumbled.
Oh my God!
Rams got the ball back.
I thought it might have actually turned into a game for just a second. If they would have, got a touchdown, 2-point conversion, be within two scores, something might have been actually there to make it worth watching. Unfortunately, no. All we get is McDonald's colors with that red and yellow. It makes me really hungry for a McDouble. I can't explain it. Color rush is killing me. That's one thing the NFL can go put away for next year because I don't want to have anything to do with it at this point.
I like the color rush. I think it looks great.
What?
Yeah.
You're the only person, Matt.
I mean, dude, we're not watching them to have good fashion sense. I think that they look fine. The outfits, the uniforms, who cares if they're super bright or whatever? They look good.
Okay. All right. So in that case, what two teams would you like to see in a color rush?
I think New Orleans would be cool, like a kind of a gold, a color rush. I'd also like to see just an all black color rush. I think that'd look cool.
An all black?
Yeah, just like a whole black uniforms, like the Raiders. Imagine the Raiders in all black with just the silver on their helmet for the Raiders. That might look cool.
That could look cool. I like also just the concept of like the complete silver, like literally like looking like liquid chrome people. You know, like the Terminators.
Cool. Or all gold, like New Orleans, if they did just gold, like the flake, the gold flaked cleats, like that, the whole uniform, just shiny gold. That'd be awesome.
If Marshawn Lynch smiled in that uniform, you wouldn't see him. There'd be no more Marshawn
Lynch.
There's
Seattle. What about Seattle and just one of the neon green color
rush? Oh, that would be sick. The neon green color rush.
That'd be cool, right?
Well, yeah, I could see that. However, I for whatever reason, we're just not getting any color rush opportunities in Seattle. They don't seem to really give two darns about what Seattle could look like in a color rush. And honestly, I sometimes think that they throw the color rush out there as just another way to possibly get some of these people to tune into games that don't really freaking matter, like tonight.
Yeah.
So Tavon Austin actually has two touchdowns tonight, huh? How's your fantasy league looking?
I made the playoffs in all three leagues, and in two of my leagues, I'm past the first round, so I'm into the second round of the playoffs, and I played Gurley, so... and he's got a touchdown tonight. Not a ton. He's got what? Let's see. Gurley's got 37 yards rushing and a touchdown and 31 yards receiving. Not terrible. Tavon Austin definitely, 41 yards receiving and a touchdown, 34 yards rushing and a touchdown. They use him on those weird end arounds all the time. But yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of points to go around.
There is. I'm watching here, literally watching my wife play with the sports media. Name that sport app on my phone. She is like bound and determined to get past this. I think she wants the $10 from me because she's been literally here by my computer, like continuing to try to click in for 1.18. Like what has it been now? About 35 minutes, 40 minutes, just. You want to tell everybody that, really.
What do you want me to tell them? It's freaking driving me nuts.
Yeah. she's completely and totally just irritated with the whole app to no end. She's left the room a couple of times, I think, to go to the dictionary to try to find other possibilities that it could be. This app is cracking me up. So the St. Louis Rams really have not much else to play for except for their contracts for next year, as they're moving this could be the last game we see in St. Louis. Am I right? Ever?
I mean, I don't know. You know, there's another thing to be said. No one wants a completely – I don't think they're going to take them if they're just the worst team in the NFL or just a middle, you know. I really think the Rams are trying to show that they have a lot of potential so that they can get that move. So I think it's kind of motivated the Rams to want to win a couple games to say, hey, we're not bad. We would be worth a move to a big market like LA because we can win games and we can play hard. So I think they're pushing for it. I think it's helping them play better.
Yeah. Okay. And I, it definitely has come about. They had a really big midseason lull. And something has happened where they've become re-inspired. Here's a guy who just re-inspired his fiance. He says that he bought her a $26,000 diamond ring from the 310. $26,000 diamond ring for an engagement for Christmas. And I gotta say something, dude. You didn't shock me. A $26,000 ring is pretty shocking. But that's not a Christmas present. You can't double it up. It's either an engagement ring or a Christmas gift. You can't do both. Can you do both, Matt? I can't. No, you can't be both.
No, and I'm sorry. Look, I don't know. And this is just me. I'm glad for you. I hope you found happiness. The 310, I'm pretty sure that's LA. Doesn't surprise me there either. But I'm going to just say this. I don't think there's pussy good enough on the earth to get a $20,000 wedding ring. And I love my wife with all my heart. She's amazing. She's my best friend. She doesn't need a $20,000 ring. And unless I had money to blow, I wouldn't buy her a $20,000 ring. Because, with the way relationships go, especially in this country, good luck. She's going to be pawning that ring 5 years from now. So I just would never do that ever. So, and I hope it works out for you. I'm not wishing any bad luck on the relationship. I hope you guys have 12 kids and a huge family and you love every minute of it. And it works out great.
That, 12 kids would definitely be shocking. He'd be winning shock the jock, but a $26,000 wedding ring, though an amazingly large investment. Let me tell you something, and I know we're getting way off track a lot tonight, but there's not a whole lot to talk about because this game sucks, and the NFL's kind of winding itself into the playoff mode. But let me tell you something, guy. If you're buying a $26,000 wedding ring, what you're doing, unless you're a freaking Rockefeller, a Trump, or, have $1 billion just sitting around to wipe your rear end with, all you're doing is you're putting your relationship in a deeper debt hole that you're going to have to find your way out of later on. Now, you could be buying it completely cash, and that's okay. But still, what you're doing at this point is putting a monetary investment into a relationship. And that automatically creates resentment issues as well as price tags that the woman is looking at on her finger as to how much you value her. If you have to do that with the ring, you're not doing it the right way. So let me tell you something. Release yourself of the consumerism. Release yourself of what ties that bind in the monetary aspects and enjoy your relationship for what it is, which hopefully doesn't have a lot to do with debt and staying at the office and paying off that ring that you might have just bought with literally, half your year's salary. It just does not make a lot of good sense going into a relationship that far behind.
Yeah. No, I we just talked about this and I told you what I thought, so
I just had to chime in on that too, because that just doesn't seem like a good maneuver for anybody. Tampa Bay just got called for holding, and they are going to be backed up literally to their what looks like 5 or 4 yard line as they're going to try a fourth quarter comeback down 22 points with 14 minutes and 49 seconds left to go. Nothing's really happening to this game. It's a miserable situation that both teams are in, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to go a second year under Lovie Smith without a playoff appearance. Let me ask you a question here, Matt, just for a second. This is future tripping just a little bit, but if Lovie Smith does not have a winning record next year, is he out of Tampa Bay?
You mean by through next year?
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's gone.
The 3 years is enough time to prove that you can at least take your team and make him a winner.
Yeah. It's enough time to get your team on the right track and get at least over 500.
I think his job is essentially safe at this point, and he's done a pretty good job with the team that he has, especially coming from the number one overall draft pick with Jameis Winston. But now there's the salary cap concerns. As we know, Doug Martin's going to be asking for top dollar. We know that people like Vincent is going to be asking for top dollar. We know that that offensive line has 2 free agents who are also going to be asking for top dollar. And does this team have enough to hold itself together in this transition to that pivotal year for Lovie Smith? Let's throw a very early bold prediction. Does the Bucs hold it together by the end of next year, and does Lovie Smith still have his job?
Yes, the Bucs are much better next year, and I think they get into the playoffs next year, and Lovie Smith keeps his job on the back of a much stronger defense.
Okay. And here's the next question. As most people are completely unaware of this, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were essentially AFC. When they came into the league, they came into the league as in the AFC. With the possible division realignments of all the things that are going on with this move to LA, you can't have 2 teams in the same market on the same division in LA. And it sounds like we got the Rams, Oakland, as well as San Diego, all vying for this one spot. Do we see possibly the Rams or the Seahawks? I'm sorry, not the Rams, but the Seahawks or Tampa Bay possibly going back to the AFC West?
I'd love to have the Seahawks.
There, 2 times a year, we'd both be having our
would be fantastic.
Having our rivalry.
That'd be great. That would be amazing. I'd be very happy with that.
But then you get beat twice a year.
Well, not last year when we played.
Yeah, but if you remember right.
Wait, did we win or lose last year when we played?
The record is that you won. However, there was a controversial call at the end of the game where Doug Baldwin was pass interfered, and the league even stated that that should have been a pass interference call at the last play of the game where the pass was missed.
I don't remember that at all.
No, of course you wouldn't.
So basically, you lost to us last year.
And they went on a 7-game winning streak after that and then ended up in the Super Bowl.
So maybe the Chiefs help motivate them with a crushing defeat at our hands.
And we'll see. Ultimately, at this point, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, nice catch there between 2 defenders right on the 3 or 4 yard line. Was he touched? Or did he drop that ball inadvertently? What the heck just happened there?
Is it Mike Evans?
I think it was. Okay, they gave it to him at the 3. Tampa Bay could actually score and make this a game. Jameis Winston rolls out, throws, and finds the end zone. Good old, can't see that.
Luke Stocker.
So now we have a possibility of a game coming back. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are showing an ounce of life. That was a hell of a long drive to happen in just such a quick amount of time.
They still have a whole fourth quarter. They could come back. We'll see how this goes.
We'll see. So, guys, Shock the Jock, we have yet to get enough submissions. We would love to hear what you have to say. A $26,000 engagement ring is shocking, but we're not going to count that because it doesn't count as a does not count as a Christmas gift. And, Matt, do you have anything else that you would like to add in before we begin our wrapping up of tonight's show?
Nope.
I know. We don't really have a whole lot to discuss, do we?
No, this was good. We talked about a little racism. We talked about a little Kansas City Chiefs and a little Seattle, and I think that was good. Well done.
Okay. I guess I need to hear from you because we talked about this while you weren't here. We made a wager, Frank and I, on who is going to win the NFC East, which also known as AFC East. Three teams are tied for a record of 6-7 in that division: Washington, Philadelphia, and New York. Which one of those three teams is going to the playoffs?
New York.
Why?
Because I think that they can put it together against the teams that they're playing. Versus Philadelphia plays Arizona this weekend, so I think they drop a game there. Washington, I was looking at this actually earlier. Let's see if I'm correct. Washington, let's see here. I'll tell you in 2 seconds. Washington plays Buffalo, and they're playing at home, so they could actually win that game. But, well, it might be Washington, actually. I think this weekend is going to be key to that because it looks – I mean, if one team can come out and even get a one-game lead, it's going to be hard for the other teams to come back. So Washington plays Buffalo. New York plays Carolina, which is – but maybe New York surprises them and beats them. I don't know. And Philly plays Arizona. It'll probably be Washington. Yeah, my bad.
That was my pick as well. I think Frank picked the New York Giants. One other question. The NFC North is still in contention as Green Bay and Minnesota continue to swap positions back and forth on that. You're saying Green Bay, no doubt?
Yeah.
Really? Is that because the reemergence of Eddie Lacy?
Yeah. It definitely is. I mean, you know how I feel about that. Eddie Lacy is the key to that offense clicking well. I think that defense is playing a little better. I think that Rodgers has started to step it up the last couple of games, but really it comes down to Eddie Lacy. When he's playing, you have to respect that and you have to bring people up. And those Green Bay receivers, yeah, we're giving them a lot of trouble. Look, we're so hard on the Packers because we expect such big things from them. You're talking about a team that's 9-4. We're not talking about a crappy football team. You're talking about the Green Bay Packers that are 9-4. The reason we're giving them so much crap is because we expect them to be 11-2. That's why we expect them to be otherworldly, you know, like they've been the last couple of seasons. So this is still a 9-4 team and a really, really good team. They go to play the Raiders this weekend, and I think they go and they beat the Raiders. And I think this is a good team. And on the back of Eddie Lacy, they get their offense in a rhythm and in sync, and they continue to win. Yeah, I just don't think that. And Minnesota as well. Let's be honest. Minnesota has no reason to have won this division. They had a game against Seattle. They dropped it. They had a pathetic showing against the Packers. They just cannot come out and show that they're a decent team, and they haven't done it yet. They've had a bunch of opportunities to take that division, and they haven't done it.
Yeah, well, the thing about Minnesota, too, is that they have, I would say, the better defense of the two. However, the Green Bay Packers, of course, have the better offense of the two. And when it comes to things like that, I tend to try to give the edge to special teams. And in this case, I don't know who has the better special teams. They both have weaknesses on special teams. And I think that when it comes time for playoff time, special teams becomes a lot more important. Things you don't even realize, such as just average field position. And we're watching special teams do something right now on the Rams game. It looks like this kick is being returned for, nope, just shy at the 2-yard line. What exactly just happened there? It was an amazingly long run. And I just caught the tail end of it. But anyhow, special teams is imperative, as you know, special teams is the defining factor, that extra edge that could put you over another team inside the playoff scenarios. And I don't see either the Green Bay Packers or the Minnesota Vikings doing well in the playoffs, regardless of where they are, because of their lack of polish on the special teams. Do you kind of agree with that assessment?
No, you lost me talking about all the special teams. I understand what you said about it, but no, I think Green Bay's going to win because they can run the ball.
Okay.
You gave a long-winded explanation.
I did with
of special teams.
Well, I was totally,
and I followed you for a second, and then I was like, "Oh, special teams."
And, yeah, I know. I was blown away by that long return. What was that? A 103 yards that was not a touchdown. I mean, that was a long, long return by Cunningham, Benny Cunningham of the
102
Rams.
Come on, give it to Todd Gurley. Get in the end zone, Gurley. That would be fantastic.
Matt's rooting for his fantasy player who he needs some extra points for.
Get a garbage touchdown out of this. That would be awesome for Gurley to get a garbage second touchdown. He's had a bunch of games where he didn't come through. So let's have a game where he does nothing and he does come through. That's awesome.
Yeah, and Gurley stuffed at the line. So we got a lot of things going on, and guys, tomorrow night we're going to be talking two things. One, we're going to be doing our picks, and we're going to be going over each and every game, and then we're going to also be talking about what goes on with the NFL news and stuff like that heading into week 15 and what the injury report looks like for those games. So you're going to get a complete recap and a complete synopsis of what to expect for week 15. And week 15 guarantees to be very eventful, as a lot of teams are going to be working to clinch playoff spots and home field advantages. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up a little bit earlier than we normally do, because we are just running out of material and just trying to find things to talk about, and it's starting to turn into bad radio. Matt, do you have anything else?
It's 10 o'clock. I don't know what you're talking about. 9:59. Good stuff.
Okay. With that, I'm Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Talk. Have a nice night. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
That was NFL Talk Late Night from Jack Journal with the biggest morons in the country. If you aren't asleep already, it might be time to get to bed. However, I'm sure most of you are still looking for me on AshleyMadison.com.